This is my last Sunday as pastor of the church. My mind turned to another farewell in the scriptures. There are many similarities. There are a lot of differences that I'm going to call your attention to. But I'm calling your attention to the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. Paul was on his third and last missionary journey, and he was on his way back to Jerusalem. Those of you that are familiar with the Bible, remember that when he got there, he was taken captive and eventually ended up in Rome, where he suffered a martyr's death later on. This was his final missionary journey. So happened that the boat on which he was riding came through the Aegean Sea and stopped at the city of Miletus. It's over on the eastern side of the Aegean Sea. And that just happened to be about 40 miles away from a church that was probably more special to him and dearer to his heart than almost any other. He had spent more time here, the Bible says at least 3 years. He spent more time there than any place else. And so he sent and asked that the elders of that church come and meet with him down at the boat. And so the story is recorded in the last part of the 28th chapter, or the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. I want to begin reading. It'll be quite a long passage. I'm going to begin reading at verse 17 and read clear through the end of the chapter. But that's the story. Follow me now if you have your Bible. If not, you listen to the story. And from Miletus, he, that's Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and trials which befell me by the lying weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit witnesseth that in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I testify unto you that this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that for the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them who are sanctified. I've coveted no man silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I've shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept much and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Without being melodramatic, there are many ways I feel this morning like the Apostle Paul, for my ministry's changing, and I'm no longer going to be the senior pastor of the church. And there are many similarities between my life and my position right now and that of the Apostle Paul. Now, there are many differences, and I want to call your attention to them. First of all, he said twice that they weren't going to see his face anymore. Now, that's not going to be true. I hope you're going to see my face a whole lot in the months and the years ahead, if the Lord tarries. And I'll continue a ministry here, so I have no similarity there, I hope. In the will of God. Secondly, he said, the Holy Spirit witnesses that bonds and afflictions abide me. And that's the story of Paul's life. There's a lot of sense in which my life has not been like that. For though I've suffered somewhat, very little, my ministry here has been primarily one of joy and one of love. It's not been much of suffering. Perhaps not as much as it should have been, particularly at the hands of unbelievers. And then the Apostle Paul said, I am pure from the blood of all men. Oh, I wish I could say that. I've tried to be true to the presentation of the gospel, and there's never been an hour, day, or night when, if I know my heart, I would not go to present the gospel to somebody who is receptive and wanting to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been the burden of my heart to see people come to Christ. But I don't think I can quite say what the Apostle Paul said, I am free from the blood of all men. So though there are many similarities, there are also many differences between my occasion this morning and that of the Apostle Paul. I want to call your attention to some of the similarities here. First of all, it was true in relation to Ephesus for the Apostle Paul, and I trust that it is also true here. I want to call your attention, first of all, to a foundation upon which to build. Foundation that God laid through the Apostle Paul there at Ephesus, and I believe a foundation which has been laid here. And secondly, I call your attention to a fellowship to be maintained. A fellowship to maintain. You'll see that in the life of the Apostle Paul and these elders. And last of all, there's a future to be grasped. Now, on this my last message here as pastor, I would not disappoint you not to have a threefold outline. So I did. I trust I'll have many opportunities to preach in the future here, but I want to give you that threefold outline. First of all, there's a foundation on which to build. That was true with the Apostle Paul. I read to you verses 20 and 21, where he said to these elders, and he could say it truthfully. He said, "I've kept back nothing that was profitable to you. I've shown you, I've taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul's primary message was the message of salvation, the message of the gospel. He says down in verse 24 that God had given him the ministry to testify to the grace of God in men's lives. Paul was faithful to that message, and to those people who are without the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the only foundation of any church, whether it be at Ephesus or here, has to be the message of the gospel and the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, "Then other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And Paul was faithful in the presentation of the gospel of salvation through Christ to that church and to the people that were round about Ephesus. He was not only faithful in the presentation of the gospel, but he was faithful to that church in preaching and teaching the message that those people needed to hear. He says in verse 27, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Now, I'm sure sometimes that was tough for Paul. Sometimes it was joyful. It's always joyful to present a message of encouragement and hope and that sort of thing to people. It is tough to present the truth of the Word of God when it involves rebuke and exhortation and all of that sort of thing. But the Apostle Paul was faithful not only to unsaved people, but he was faithful to that church. And therefore, he was leaving them with a strong, solid foundation on which to build for the future. I want to say, I believe with all my heart that this church has a good foundation upon which to build. First of all, doctrinally. As I said last June, I think it was, when I preached on Issues and Answers, the book that I hold in my hand has always been the basis for the ministry of this church. Ever since Brother Bill Byers started this church in a little Bible class in 1968, this book has always been the center of ministry of this church. And I thank God for it. And there has been no apology for the gospel. No apology for the presentation of the gospel. No apology for the ministry of the Word of God. The gospel has never been compromised. That people without Jesus Christ are under the just condemnation of a holy God, and that men and women without Him are lost. But the good news is that God gave His Son to die, to pay the price of your sin and mine, that we might have the gift of eternal life through faith in Him. That message has never been compromised. It's a foundation upon which to build. And we've sought to declare the whole counsel of God. It's not been easy, as I said, sometimes to apply the Word of God to problems and difficulties and sin in people's lives. That's not been easy. It's been a joy to present encouragement and blessing and comfort. I trust that we've been faithful in that, and that this ministry through the years has been faithful to that. And I thank God for the blessing which has come because of it. As I look back over the some 28 years of this of the history of this church, I thank God for people that have come to know Christ, for people that have been saved. Not as many as we would love to see, but there have been people that have come to know Christ and are living for Christ and serving the Lord today all over the world. There are young people who have gone into full-time Christian service. There are pastors today who are preaching the gospel today, who came to know Christ or who came out of this church, and I thank God for it. There are missionaries that are serving the Lord around the world who came out of this church and its ministry over the past 25 to 28 years. There's Christian school teachers, and I thank God for that. And there are a lot of others who are serving the Lord in various ministries because of the faithfulness to the Word of God. There are missionaries who have been supported over the past 25 to 28 years. Hundreds of thousands of dollars have gone out from this church to support the spread of the gospel through missionaries around the world. And I thank God, as we said a couple, 3 weeks ago, that every goal, financial goal that this church has ever had for the support of missionaries has always been met. And I thank God for that. And it's resulted, as I said, in hundreds of thousands of dollars in supporting of missionaries and their messages around the world. I thank God that this church has a good doctrinal foundation upon which to build. I really do. Not only is that true, but it's had a good moral and ethical foundation on which to build. In these days when men are falling morally, I thank God that God has blessed this church morally and ethically. No pastor or associate pastor, and if I counted up right, there's been about seven of us. No pastor or associate pastor or intern that we've ever had has ever fallen morally and brought a blight upon this church. That's by the grace of God, and I thank God for it. This church has had a solid foundation morally. I thank God that it's had a solid foundation ethically, that this church has a good testimony in this area. It has a good testimony, for example, in the area of finances. To my knowledge, every bill that this church has ever had has been paid on time. Every bill has always been paid on time. There has been no misappropriation of funds. We have sought very carefully to watch that every dollar which is given for missions or any other project or any other purpose or operation of our local church, that every dollar has gone exactly where it has been designated. And that's been true for the entire history of this church. I had a friend who visited here just a few weeks ago who told the sad story. It was not a Grace Brethren Church. It was not a church even in this state. Told the sad story of a church he attended where money had been given for missions and the pastor had the control of the money and he alone, and the money was misappropriated and used for local expenses, never got to the missionaries, and a result of it, the pastor's gone and the church is in a mess. I thank the Lord that's never happened here by the grace of God. There's been no misappropriation. The books have been opened. You are invited to be in our business meeting today, and you will see a financial report of every cent that this church has spent during this past year. The books have always been open. Again, I had someone who sat in our services who told of being a member of a church. And he was even on the finance committee of the church. And he complained that even as a member of the finance committee, he could not find out the salary of the pastor. That was hidden. It was not made public by the people, by those in authority. People, that has not been true. If you want to know here throughout the history of this church, or want to know today, the salary of any pastor, if you can read writing, if you can read figures, you can see what they are. There's never been ethically any question about this church throughout its history. And I thank God for that. No pastor has ever left with unpaid bills. Our associate pastors who've gone from this church, not one of them, or not one of the senior pastors, has ever left this church with unpaid bills in the town that the church has had to go around and pay, and then had a bad testimony for that church. I thank God that today this church has a solid foundation doctrinally, morally, and ethically on which to build for the future. I praise God for that. But not only is there a solid foundation on which to build, there's a fellowship to be maintained. I want to remind you something about these folks here at Ephesus, these elders that came to see the Apostle Paul. As I said, if I looked at the map right, if I read it right, it was about 40 miles from Ephesus to Miletus. Those men, you know, they didn't go by jet, and they didn't even go by automobile, but those men walked. They either walked or rode a camel or rode a donkey or something. But they traveled like that for 40 miles to get to be with the Apostle Paul. And it says when they bade him goodbye, they fell on his neck and they wept and kissed him. All I can read out of that is that there was a whole lot of love in that church. There was a whole lot of love in that church. And I thank God for this church in the same way. This church, by others, has been known for its love. There was one who worshiped here with us for 3 months in a special ministry a number of months ago, years ago now. And his comment to me was, oh, there's an awful lot of love in that church. Now, I know that we may be far short of what we ought to be. And you can say, well, it's on the surface. It's not as deep as it should be. And there are those in which we fail. Yeah, I know that's all true and could be a whole lot better. But thank God it's here that people can sense when they come. And that's not true in a lot of places. I thank God for that love. Now, I want to say it's absolutely essential to build a strong church in the future. It's absolutely essential. Pastor Steve McCofka gave me a book, I think it was last July or August, which he has also given to the elders and the deacons and asked them to read. It's by Dan Spader and Gary Mays, and it's called Growing a Healthy Church. And he's going to take some men to a seminar, retreat, conducted by these men around this theme. And some of you who are familiar with the church growth movement say, oh no, there's another book on church growth. We got 45 of them now in our library and all of that. But I read that book, or read most of it on the way to Alaska when I was on the plane last summer, and read some of it while I was up there, and read more of it on the way back on the plane. And he gave six foundations for ministry. Six foundations for ministry. I want to call your attention to them. Number one, create an atmosphere of love. Create an atmosphere of love. Number two, build that ministry. Build a relational ministry. What does he mean by that? A relationship to people. Not simply programs, not simply gimmicks, not simply ideas, not all that sort of thing, not simply promotion. Build a relational ministry. Third, communicate Christ clearly. We're living in a day, people, when the only conception of Jesus Christ that men of the world have is some sort of caricature. It is far, far from the Christ the Bible presents. And he said, you've got to communicate Christ clearly, who he is, the Son of God, what he has done. Fourth, build a healthy ministry image. What's the image of a church? Is it big buildings? Is it a prominent pastor? Is it programs? Is it all of that? Or is it that the church has an image of one that is concerned about the lost and is concerned about discipling people and is concerned about getting the gospel around the world and is build the right kind of ministry and have the right kind of image. Fourth, mobilize a prayer base. You know, people in this business of serving Jesus and leading a church, God has called us to a supernatural ministry. Do you know that? God's called us to a supernatural ministry. I can't do it. Pastor Steve can't do it. Elders and deacons can't do it. You and I can't do it. God has to do it. And therefore, it can be accomplished only by the power of intercessory prayer, a strong prayer base. Fifth, or last of all, sixth, said communicate the Word clearly. Communicate the Word of God. Fight biblical illiteracy. Fight biblical illiteracy. It is amazing how biblically ignorant many of God's people are, even in evangelical churches. Fight biblical illiteracy. Combat it. Know the Word of God and apply it. Now, those were the six. Well, man alive, I don't read a thing about computers or I don't read a thing about salesmanship, and I don't read a thing about programs, and I don't read a thing about seminars. I don't read any about. Now, don't misunderstand me. Those things are good. We ought to be up to date as much as the world or anything else. But you see, when it comes to foundation of building a ministry, those six things he talked about, you cannot improve upon. Those are it. It's absolutely essential that this fellowship, this love, this relational ministry characterize this church. And I thank God it has. I thank God for the love that you've had for your pastor during these past 23 years. It's been evident. I thank the Lord for the love God has given me to you. I want to ask you to continue that to Pastor Steve McCofka. The church is going to be asked today in its business meeting to approve Pastor Steve as interim pastor for a period of 3 to 6 months and consider his becoming pastor of this church for that period of time. I don't know God's will about that. He doesn't know God's will about that right now, neither do you. But you're going to be asked to give him an opportunity. I want to ask you to transfer that love or just share that love with him. I want to say he's a young man who loves people, who has a desire for discipleship. I've seen him weep in my study as we prayed together. I want to ask you to support him. he's more creative and analytical than I'll ever be. We each have our different gifts. But I want to ask you to get behind him and love him and give him a chance and pray for him. Pray for him. If there's something that you don't like about him, you go tell him and not other people. If there's something you do like and appreciate about him, you go tell him and other people. And if there's something you don't like about him, you go tell him that you're praying for him and that you appreciate him. And you still, and don't tell him you don't like him, but you tell him all that, and you know what'll happen? He'll work himself to death, and then you won't have any problem anymore. See. As I say that, I have in mind another young man who 16 or 17 years ago was called to a church as an associate pastor. He had been there only 6 months when the pastor unexpectedly died. And he was called as an associate pastor, he was called as interim pastor for 6 months. During that period of time, the church got behind him and helped him and strengthened his weaknesses. And at the end of that time, he was unanimously called as pastor of the church. Today, that church has grown from a church of 300 to over 1,200 people. Many of you know I'm talking about my own son. My son. I want to say that love, fellowship, and trust has characterized this church for the entire 20-some years of its existence. And by the way, three men, Ron Batroff, Jeff Duncan, and Tom Wassell, will be presented as additional elders for approval today at our business meeting. You've already approved Bob Carroll, Steve McCofka, and me as elders. There will be three additional men presented. They are men of different gifts and different personalities. But I have absolute confidence that these men desire only the glory of God and the good of this church. I can honestly say that on the part of any, that there is no personal desire for ambition, no personal exaltation, or personal prominence. By the way, do you realize that many churches could not handle or survive what this church is going through right now? And it says a lot about the strength of this church. By that I mean it's going through a change of government from an official board to leadership by a board of elders and deacons. Now, I've supported this for two reasons. First of all, because it's biblical. Biblical, I see it in the Bible. And secondly, because I see a greater potential for discipleship and leadership among our people, and so I've supported it. And I do. So it's going through a change of government. It is also going through a change of pastors at the same time. I had not intended this. I intended, as you know, to continue perhaps on to next to July of 98. We talked about that. But circumstances came into my life a few months ago that indicated that was not God's will. And by the way, since that decision, which was made back in November, which you heard, God has only further confirmed that decision, even again as late as last Friday. God has given to Billy and me sweet confirmation of that decision. And so here's a church going through a change of government and a change of pastors at the same time. Do you know there are a whole lot of churches that couldn't survive that? And yet this church, because of its strength and love and unity, is able to do so. It says a lot about this church. I must hurry on. Again, I want to say this church has a great foundation upon which to build. It has a fellowship and a love and a unity that must be maintained and must be fostered, cultivated. Now I want to say, and by the way, that fellowship and love has to be based on love for Jesus. Do you remember that this church at Ephesus was the same one to which John wrote, the Lord spoke, really, in Revelation chapter 2, and said, because you have left your first love, except you repent and do the first works, I will come and take away your candlestick of witness out of its place. And that church faded out of existence. There is none there today. So that fellowship and love and unity has to be based and grounded in love for our Lord and therefore love for His people. Not only is there a strong foundation upon which to build and a fellowship that has to be maintained, but there is a glorious future to be grasped. Paul said to these elders, in effect, follow my example. He said, I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears. I've got a ministry from God to complete, a course to finish. What is it? He says in verse 21, it's to preach repentance toward God and faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, that's the ministry that God has given to me. And it's the ministry that God has given to this church. And it will be so until Jesus comes. So Paul said, first of all, to these people at Ephesus, he said, follow my example and keep your emphasis upon getting the gospel out and teaching men and women repentance toward God and faith toward Christ. Then he also said, watch the flock. Verses 28 and 31. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Spirit's made you overseers. Says in verse 31, watch for God's people. And I want to say, as you've heard me say it before, the primary responsibilities of the elders of this church to be elected is to maintain doctrinal purity and for the spiritual well-being of the flock, to watch over God's people. The primary responsibility. Paul said to these elders, you do it. And then he said, support the weak. Remember, verse 35, he said that Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I heard this beautifully illustrated at Christmas time. I was going into the hospital about 6:30 to see Larry Casale, pray with him before he had his back surgery. I was driving down I-75 and I had on the radio car, I had it tuned to WSB. And the announcer early in the morning, it was 6:30, I forget, he was telling about when he was driving into work that morning, and it was about 2 o'clock, he had to get there real early. He said he turned on the radio and one of the New York stations was coming in. You know, you can get stations from all over the world practically in the middle of the night. They come in so strong. And he was telling a story that he heard there in New York. There was an employer who had 55 employees. And for Christmas, he was giving them a little box. Each one of them had a little box that he was giving to them. And so on a special occasion, he drew them all together and gave them this little box. And he said, now in one of those boxes is a free round trip, all expenses paid for you and your family to Disney World. One of those boxes. He said, I want you to take them. I want you all to open your boxes simultaneously. And they opened them and a lady said, I got it. I got it. And a man spoke up and said, no, you didn't. I did. And the first thing you know, all 55 had a free round trip to Disney World for their family. And that employer said, I've waited a long time to be able to do this. And then the announcer here in Atlanta said, and I was proud of him for saying it, he said, I want to ask you, who got the best Christmas gift? And he said, if I have to explain to you who got the best gift, he said, I'm not going to waste my time doing so. Obviously, that employer did. More blessed to give than to receive. What's Paul saying in all these things? What am I saying here? He's saying grasp the future. Do three things. Number one, warn men and day and night with tears of their need of Jesus Christ. Testify to the gospel of the grace of God. People, I want to tell you, it's a terrible thing to be lost. It's a terrible thing to be under the righteous judgment of God. It's a terrible thing to die lost. It's a terrible thing to meet God with your sins, all your guilt still upon you. It's a terrible thing to be guilty before God. Therefore, we have a responsibility to tell men the best message that they will ever hear. That God, that same God, loves them and sent His Son to die on the cross to bear that guilt, to bear their hell, to pay the price of their sin, and that they may have the gift of eternal life and the forgiveness of their sin by the grace of God. That's the best message any man and woman will ever hear. Oh, keep preaching it. Keep telling it. That's what Paul said to these people. What an opportunity. And what a responsibility for this church. Lift up your eyes and look on the field, Jesus said. It's not news to you that there are thousands of people descending upon this area. We complain about the traffic, but all traffic is people. There are thousands and thousands of people. What a strategic spot God has put this church in. What a great opportunity God has given this church. This church can go nowhere but forward with the message of the gospel and serving Christ. It's in a strategic position, location, with a great opportunity. And it's free to serve the Lord. This pastor is not one who is resigning, as sometimes has happened, and leaving the church saddled with a great debt. There are those who have done that, who've led churches into great building programs, grandiose schemes, and then resigned and left the church saddled with an almost unbearable burden of debt. I want to remind you people, this church today is debt-free. It's debt-free. I'm not saying we ought not to go into debt in the future. And I'm not saying we ought not to borrow off of Grace Brethren Investment Foundation and use the funds to go build other churches. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying the opportunity is there. There's no direction to go but forward. You're not saddled. You're not burdened. You can go. Thank God for that. What an opportunity. And then watch over the flock. Watch doctrinally. This church has been and shall forever continue to be, by the grace of God, committed to the Bible as the Word of God, committed to world evangelization and discipleship, committed to the practices of the ordinances as we understand them to be from the Word of God. Those things must continue. And then last of all, Paul said, remember, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I don't think he was just talking about money. He wasn't talking about money to these elders who'd come to see him. He's talking about supporting the weak and helping those who are weak spiritually. What was he saying? He was saying to these elders and to that church, and I say to you, every one of you as individual Christians, Paul is saying here, develop a ministry mindset. You personally develop a ministry mindset. God has called me to minister. Every time I come to church on Sunday morning, every time I associate with God's people, all during my life, all during the week, God has called me to minister to the unsaved. God's called me to minister to Christian people. I know we come to be fed spiritually from the Word of God, and I know we come to be strengthened, and that's right. But you come with a ministry mindset that you're going to minister to somebody. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You'll find it so. You'll find it so. Well, I've got to hurry and close very quickly. I want to say I thank God that at this point this church has a wonderful foundation upon which to build. Doctrinally, morally, and ethically. There are no weights on this church as it moves forward. It has a precious fellowship to be maintained. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let that love flow out from a love for the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation which He's provided for us. Wonderful fellowship. And people, there's a glorious future to be grasped. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Grasp it and seize it to the full and take advantage of the opportunity that God has given this church in this location, in the days ahead, if the Lord Jesus tarries. Use it to the full. And so I close this morning again by saying, I thank God for the privilege of ministry here and for the emphasis, not only from me, but from all others who have been associated with me here, in the message of the Word of God and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I say again, dear friend, that that's the only message that's worth preaching in a church. It's the message of the forgiveness of sin, the gift of eternal life, salvation, new life, through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to this world and became a man, and laid down His life on the cross of Calvary to pay the price of our sin. And you here today without Him, I invite you to open your heart by faith and say yes to Him today. And in simple childlike faith, take your stand and say, yes, I commit myself and my destiny, my eternal salvation, to that one who died on the cross to pay the price of my sin. And as I look forward to death, as I look at it and face it, I'm going to face it with my faith in Jesus Christ. And to those of you who know Jesus Christ as your Savior and challenge and know Christ, I want to challenge you. God enable you to maintain the precious fellowship that God has given here and to grasp the great opportunity of the future which God has placed in our laps and not to let it go. And commit yourself today to say, by God's grace, I want to have a mindset of ministry. Ministry to God's people. And ministry of the gospel to those that are lost. And then I know God will take care of the ministry to me. And He will. And He will.